Thank you for preservation. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you very much, O God Almighty, for keeping our going out and our coming in. Thank you, Eternal Father, for the hope that we have of a better tomorrow. We ascribe all glory, honor, praise, and adoration to you, O Father. We say, please accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Indeed, you have been our help in time past, and you are our hope for time to come. So we believe in you, O God, that as we go into the month of August this week, and as we continue the journey throughout this year, we trust in you, Lord, that you will sustain us, you will protect us, you will keep us from all evil. We trust, O God Almighty, that all the blessings that are ours will not elude us. Let your name alone be glorified, for in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. You know, this week we've been talking about looking unto Jesus. But today I take a topic that I call drop the weight. Drop the weight. About 2 or 3 Tuesdays ago, when I took the Bible study, and we got to this point in Hebrews chapter 12, we actually discussed this weight. But after I left, and for 3 consecutive days, every morning, the Lord would talk to me about it. Every morning for 3 days. And God said to me that I must still go back and talk about it. So I believe that there will be someone here who the Lord wants to deliver today. Don't forget also that when we're talking about that Hebrews chapter 12, which we will read, we spoke about the fact that before you get to that looking unto Jesus, it's actually, if you look at the verse 1, it's talking about the race. We are moving. It's a race of life. So I read that scripture again, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, when you look at the athletes generally and they want to run, if not for moral issues, they will run naked. You see that even the dresses that are made for them, they are light. You know why? They don't want extra weight so that they can run and nothing will disturb them. So when Jesus Christ was talking about the endurance and he was talking about weight, he said we should drop the weight because it will not allow you to run the race and getting the target easily or effectively. The weight of an object is a measure of the force exerted on the object by gravity. That is what we learn in physics. Mass times gravity. But weight, when you look at it, weight means load. It means heaviness. It means burden, pressure, force, things that would want to keep you down. You know, without the force of gravity, a man will be floating, you'll be moving up. So, when what worry or the weight will do is to press you down from running well or from floating. So this verse of the scripture tells us that there's need to drop all things that will hinder us from running the race of life well. Now, if you look at that scripture in that verse 1, it mentioned 2 things. It said weight and sin. Weight and sin. Many of us are familiar with sins and its consequences. We hear about that many times in churches. We'll pray, we'll preach. flee all sins, run away from sin. At least I'll just read that one before I move to the weight that we are talking about today. Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21. I'll read it. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like. As I'm talking, some of us, we know that there are some that we are still battling with. And when you are battling with any of those ones, you know that, okay, you want to drop it as a child of God, it keeps coming. Then that's a sin that easily besets you. That's a sin that is reoccurring. You find yourself, you find it difficult to overcome it. What about those young people that are given to masturbation and they can't get over it? You need to look unto Jesus. It says, and the like. So when I mention masturbation and all of those ones, they are those and the likes. And I'm sure that the Holy Ghost is here right now and is talking to you about those ones that are, and the others that are yours, that you know that you indulge in. Sin. He said, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, in that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not. So when he said, drop the sin that easily besets you, it is because he wants you to run the race and make heaven, to get your goal, the mark. So, but today, like I said, our focus is on the weight. Now, that last time when we were talking, some of us identified what weight could be. You know, I said to us, you see, why did Paul put weight and sin? It is because sin is direct, you know, it is infraction of the law of the Lord. You against the word of God. But you see, when you talk about weight, weight is not necessarily the sin. But weight will lead to sin. And weight will not let you attain. The weight will not allow you to enjoy your race. And along the line, when we start to talk, you see that along the line, if you are not careful and you allow unnecessary weight to bog you down, by the time is up, you look back and know that you did not run well. Praise the Lord. One of the weight that I want us to look at today, and I'll just continue to talk about as many I can talk about, then we go. Number one is fear. Fear. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger. Unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. You know, you remember that Jacob was afraid of Esau. In fact, by the time he was going back and he heard that Esau was coming, he was sorely afraid. He was scared that he had to start strategizing, send some people to meet him and all of that. Why? Because he was afraid because of what he did. There are some of us that are living in fear today because of our past. Because of what you had done. Now, you can't get out of fear. Your past is haunting you. Fear. It happened to Jacob. Elijah feared Jezebel. In fact, when Elijah confronted King Ahab, his wife, Jezebel was so furious that she threatened to have him killed. Elijah became afraid of her and ran away into the desert. He even prayed that he would die. Can you imagine Prophet Elijah? Afraid of a woman. And that fear gripped him so much that he had to run away into the desert. Fear. Fear incapacitates people. out of fear of Jezebel, he ran into the desert. Thank God for granting him strength and comfort. Moses was afraid of speaking in front of Pharaoh. Remember also that he ran away from Egypt some time ago, and he had become a refugee. They were looking for him. He killed someone, or so he thought. So he ran. When God now wanted to use him, and he was coming back, God said, go to Pharaoh. He said, God, I'm a stammerer. I cannot speak. He was scared. God said, don't say you're a stammerer. God did some miracles, even through his hand. He said, go. He said, no, God, send another person. God was even angry with him. Fear. Fear. And this is a common fear many of us have. Being too scared to take on daunting tasks because of our own limitation. You start to look at yourself when you're supposed to move forward, when you're supposed to progress. You see, God wants to showcase you. You are above and not beneath. God wants you to also make it in life. God wants to use your life as in, for people to see that it is good to serve the Lord. But because of fear, you will not step into where you are supposed to step into. Because of fear, you will not speak where you are supposed to speak. Because of what? You will think you are limited. Thank God for Ibubu. You will think you are not up to standard. And then you lose opportunities. Fear. It happened to Moses. He felt, I'm a stammerer. I cannot be talking. Send someone, Lord. According to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, fear has torment. That's what the Bible says. It said, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Please, we will read so many scriptures. These scriptures were the scriptures that will be ministering to you. And I pray that God will allow, and you will allow the Lord to speak to you, even through these verses. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare. Don't forget our Hebrew chapter verse 1. It says, wait and sin that easily ensnares you. It says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17 says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You know what Psalm 23 verse 4 says? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thank God for Pastor Fashola. He led us through that when he ministered to us earlier on in the month. Psalm 46 verse 1 to 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the heart give way and the mountain quake with their surging. Look at that. Though there's shaking, though there's trouble, we will not fear. How many times do you go into that kind of fear because of some pressure? Some of us, maybe your business is not doing well. Things are shaking. The next thing is you go into the fear mode, a fearful mode. That is not the way. If you go into that, we will continue. What will happen is that race, the journey, will be far. It is not supposed to be. Fear has torment. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. That's the expectation of God. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So, friends, I'm sure that for God to keep telling me for 3 days consecutively, there are people here that fear had gripped. In fact, their life is, they are in bondage of fear. And if you are here, you are in bondage of fear. Allow God to heal you today. Allow God to deliver you. God is here today to deliver. And is ready to deliver you from the bondage of fear. Fear, the Bible says, has torment. You can't move. It incapacitates you. It renders you useless when you are afraid. You can't move. You can't take decisions. You can't take on things. Don't forget, you remember the people of Israel, when Goliath faced them, a whole army, because they saw a giant. Can you imagine? If all of them just rushed Goliath, wouldn't they kill him? But individually, they were scared. And because of fear, for days, none of them could stand up to that man. None of them. That's what fear will do. But look at a young man, who was not afraid. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is challenging my God? My God will deal with you." He was not afraid because all he was seeing was his God. And what happened? Because he stood in that position of not entertaining fear, he defeated Goliath. That thing that you are afraid of, those things that causes you to have terrible fears, if you face them, you'll be shocked at how quickly they will give way. Do you know one thing that I noticed? Because I worked, and I worked with different bosses. I realized in life that when you see bullies, they don't want to be challenged. And I've faced my bosses who are bullies. The moment I face you like this, you see that they've lost their power. The same way the devil does. He harasses. The Bible says he's like a lion, like a roaring lion. He's like, not a lion. The only lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So, but that one will just continue to harass. It will be harassing, shouting. Go and face your Goliath. The Goliath will crumble. The head will be given to you. Do not allow fear to cripple you. I beg of you. The reason is, if you allow fear to cripple you, you may not make heaven. The reason is that every other thing that God expects you to do, because of fear, you will not do. And it will get to a time that it will lead to sin. Things that you are supposed to do out of fear, you will not do. Can you imagine someone, because you are afraid of a boss, and it's making you, and you want to please him so that you can have peace. And because of his life and whatever, he pushed you into a place where you start to compromise. It leads you to sin. Do not give in to fear. Fear is of the devil. Fear torments. I rush quickly to the next one. Anxiety. Anxiety. Anxiety is an anticipation of a future concern. Tomorrow has not come, but you are worried about tomorrow. That is anxiety. It's a future concern. Proverbs 12:25 says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down." That's what it does. Anxiety. It weighs you down. But a kind word cheers him up. An anxious heart weighs a man down. Jesus told Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 to 42, that she worried too much. She was anxious about being a good host. That's all. She was just worried. She went to Jesus Christ. "Ah, can't you see what my sister is doing?" She just wanted to please God. She's anxious that, she doesn't want that visitation to fail. She doesn't want anything to go back. That's how some of us behave. You have not even gone to tomorrow. You are start to think, will I be able to do it? Will my children make it? Oh my God. This, the time you are even supposed to have fellowship with God, you cannot have. You are paralyzed. You are weighed down because of tomorrow that has not even come. You don't even know whether you will make tomorrow. And then you are killing yourself for tomorrow that has not even come. It is sad. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why can't you be faced today now? You see, some of these things. I was a professional in those areas. So they were part of my life. I was afraid. Afraid of failure. Afraid of this. Afraid of that. When you talk about anxiety, oh God, I'm always anxious. Always anxious. Always anxious. Kilo Mashele, what will happen? How will they happen? How will this, what will happen? When I'm supposed to be sleeping, I'll be thinking. Tomorrow that has not come, I'm thinking about that tomorrow. When it eventually comes, most times, the thing will have been resolved. And I've denied myself of good sleep. You know what I do these days? Okay. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. What I do these days, when issues, whether it is tomorrow, whatever, or yeah, wants to come, you know what I do? Especially when I'm challenged. I will engage with those things. But when it is time to sleep, consciously, somebody said, talk to yourself, Abima. So I talk to myself these days. And what I do is, I will now say, ah, this trouble. And it has worked, though. I said, I know the trouble. Maybe I've been battling with the trouble since morning, negotiating and discussing with trouble. Can you imagine? Or worries. So when it is time for me to sleep, I say, worry. This thing, oh, take bed now. I want to go to bed now. This worry, I want to go to bed. Tomorrow we will discuss this matter. But let me sleep. And sincerely, I will sleep. Sincerely, I will sleep. When it is now tomorrow, most times another trouble has come. I've forgotten the one. So that one has ended. So why worry? Why anxious? And another thing is this. If you worry, okay, you worry about something that will happen tomorrow. If you have a solution, will you worry? It's because you feel you don't have a solution, right? If you have a solution to you, will you worry? When the tomorrow comes, you just do what you're supposed to do, isn't it? But because you are not sure you have answer, that's why you worry. So you don't have an answer. Why worry? No answer now. If you don't have answer, will anything change? So why do you worry? Whether you have answer or you don't have answer, what will happen will still happen now. So why do you want to kill yourself for nothing? Let it come, and now, when it now comes, we face it. And then anyway, how we face it? This is to now call for help. I will call for help. But let it come first. Matthew 6:27 says, and which of you, being anxious, can add a single stature? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? You can add even a small centimeter or millimeter. So, or add just a day or a second to a span of life. Nobody. None of you. So why? Why worry unnecessarily? Let me rush to the third one because of our time. Hopelessness. And I know there are so many of us that are hopeless. We cannot see anything again. We feel it is over. Hopelessness is a feeling that God has forgotten about us. In John chapter 11, we have the story of Lazarus and the hopelessness of his sisters. Martha. In fact, Martha said, by now, he stinks and no hope of him to wake up again. Verse 39 of that scripture. When Jesus Christ came and said, he said, oh God, what he paid you? No hope again for that man to wake up. What is late? The man at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5 had no hope. And even the drive to be healed again, he has lost it. No more drive. Many of us are like that. We have prayed for 20 years. We had hoped. But it's no longer happening. And we have given up. No, we don't even pray about it anymore. He said he had no man to help him for 38 years. John 5:7. He said, God, I have no man. He said, do you want to be? He said, there's no man. I've lost it. Nothing again. The truth is that God does not forget about you, nor leave you when you encounter hardship. No. Rather, he walks with you and he shares the weight of the burden that you are carrying and always desiring that you cast your burden onto his shoulders. Psalm 43 verse 5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Because the way I look at it, when things happen, I wish they did not happen. Once they happen, I will check myself. Two things can happen. It's either sin. Maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe I didn't do what I'm supposed to do. If it happens, I will ask God for mercy. But if I feel that I've done everything that I'm supposed to do and it still happened, all things work together for good. He knows about it. So why worry? Why should I feel hopeless? No. Because if I call on him, he's merciful enough to forgive me and to answer me. He's a merciful God. So why should I think that my case is hopeless? My case is never hopeless. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That's my prayer for you today in Jesus' name. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The one that I love, Isaiah 49, verse 15, it says, can a woman forget a nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? He says, surely they may forget. Can you imagine? Women, we relate more. He said, surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. So why are you hopeless in that state? God says, I will not forget you. He's saying that I will never abandon you. Whatever you are going through is there with you. And everything is working for your good. Why do you now entertain hopelessness? You see, what happens if you are hopeless is that it will lead to the next one we are going to talk about, which is unbelief. When you are hopeless, you now start to think. In fact, when Jesus Christ told that man, do you want to be? He said, no, it's not possible. Everything is now not possible. And by the time you continue in that life, you are getting astray from reaching the target. Zechariah 9:12 says, return to the stronghold, you prisoner of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Prisoners of hope. So that takes me to the last one that I want to take now. Unbelief. Unbelief. It's a weight. Unbelief. This is the absence of faith. Simple. It is believing something other than what God has said about a situation. That's unbelief. God says, you are fearfully and beautifully made. You said, I am not worthy. That's unbelief. God says, whatever you lay your hands on to do shall prosper. You said, I am a failure. Unbelief. God says, by my stripes, you are healed. You said, this is my sickness. I cannot be made whole. Everything God says, and you are believing something contrary, is unbelief. Hebrews 3:12 called it evil. Unbelief is evil. He said, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. An evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Unbelief is evil. It will lead you to fall away from the living God. If you fall away from the living God, you are not making the mark. Don't forget, we are saying running a race. Thomas, in the Bible, asked for evidence before he would believe Jesus Christ resurrected. John 20, 27 to 29. I read verse 9. It says, which says, blessed are those. I mean, Jesus Christ was telling him, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. Why can't you believe what the Lord says? Even though you have not seen the evidences. Trust him that he cannot fail. He knows what he's doing. Elijah said there will be surplus in the city tomorrow. And someone said it's not possible because he called himself a big man. The man is a chief. He understood the dynamics of economies. He understood how food can come. He said it's not possible. Unfortunately for him, in his own case, the thing happened, but he did not benefit from it. May that be not be our portion in Jesus' name. Because he rationalized it because of his understanding. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying his power, avoid such people. Avoid such people. Matthew 13:58 says about Jesus Christ. He said, and he did not do many works there in his own town because of their unbelief. You won't get the best of God with unbelief. You will not. Hebrews 3:19 says, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. They can't enter because of unbelief. Mark 9:23-24, Jesus said unto him, the man with a demon-possessed child, he said to him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straight away, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Because he knew that without belief, you have lost it. And this morning, you've heard the word of God. I believe God has encouraged some of us, even if it's one person, but I know that there's someone here that God wants to deliver. Whatever area. We've talked about sin that easily besets, but we dwelt more on the weight that will drag you, that will weigh you down from running the race of life, from running and having success of this journey of Christianity. Please rise up this morning and talk to your God. That man cried out to God, help me, help my unbelief, help me. You know your own weakness. You know the weight that is your problem. The weight that every time it keeps coming, you try to overcome it. Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it unbelief? Is it hopelessness? You know the weight. Cry to God this morning, help me. That man cried. He asked for help and God helped. Jesus helped. And he's here again to help you. Just talk to him. You know your own area. Let God have his way in your life. Let God deliver you today. Allow him to deliver you and set you free. He's here to deliver. And if you can just believe him, if you can just believe him, all shall be possible. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, shout. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Please, when you leave here, go to your closet. When you get home, go and talk to your God. Settle it today. You have identified yours. Go and settle it with God. And from after today, move on into prosperity. Run the race. There's no need to fear. I will conclude. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the solution. That's why I said, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. If you can look unto Jesus today, you see the finished work of Calvary. You will not be ashamed, nor fearful, nor anxious, nor hopeless. Neither will you find it hard to believe. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May we end our race well in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace.